9 a.m. We have before us case number 6041 on a motion of the commission to consider the application of Raymond T. Duncan for an order granting relief from the provisions of order number 6932 relating to the restrictions of production from wells in the Dickinson Lodgepole for the Canopic number 111 well located in the northwest quarter of section 11, Township 139 North, Range 97 West, Stark County, North Dakota, and such other and further relief as the commission deems necessary.
Thanks.
Those wishing to make an appearance, please do so.
Mr. Examiner, my name is John Morrison, P.O. Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing this matter in case number 6041 on behalf of Raymond T. Duncan. We do have one witness in this matter and ask that he be given the oath at this time.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Mr. Examiner, my name is Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in this matter on behalf of Conoco, Inc.
Okay. Mr. Morrison, do you want to proceed?
Thank you. Steve, would you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, my name is, my official name is William Stephen Fallon. I go by Steve.
And can you tell us by whom you're employed and what capacity?
Raymond T. Duncan, and I'm the production manager and have been for about 15 years.
And in that capacity, have you previously testified for this commission as an expert witness and had your qualifications as such accepted?
Yes, sir, I have.
And have you also familiarized yourself with all the relevant details and data relating to the area of the Dickinson Lodge pole pool under discussion today?
Yes, I have.
And have you brought with you certain exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes, I have four exhibits.
And have those exhibits all been prepared either by yourself or under your supervision and control?
That's correct. That's right.
I'll offer the further testimony of this witness to have an expert.
Be accepted as that of an expert.
Thank you. Steve, I'll ask you then to turn to exhibit number one and just summarize what's contained on exhibit number one for the commission staff, please.
Okay. This is our recommendations that we'd like to see implemented by the state for the Canopic reservoir area that's a little different than what is already the field rules that we're under for the Dickinson Lodgepole pool. And I've got four recommendations here, and then the exhibits that follow that hopefully justify why we want to see these changes made and the recommendations that came from that.
You want to summarize what first recommendation?
Yeah, the first recommendation is that the Canopic well, any other wells that are in the Canopic, I'm calling it the Canopic reservoir area, that they be restricted to a maximum of 2,500 barrels a day, or in other words, 75,000 barrels for the month. That all other production restrictions that are currently under order 6932 be removed. Production restrictions only. The other restrictions or the other items that are in order 6932 with us are fine. We don't see any problem with those at all. And right now, we've assumed that the Canopic reservoir exists in the lands that are shown there on recommendation number one. Hopefully everyone knows, there's only one well in the reservoir right now. There's one other well drilling. There's some others that are going to start. But at this time, the field area is really quite uncertain. The second recommendation, because we have a gas pipeline that's been under construction now about 10 days, we're expecting that a week from today that the gas will be hooked up to Coke, and we'll have gas, the gas flare will be put out at that time. The third recommendation is so that all operators that might come into the reservoir, be it us or anybody else, that there be some pressure, additional pressure data taken so that we can figure out the reservoir better. And even if a drill stem test is run, that pressure data would be sufficient to suffice. And that we operators all share this among ourselves so that one another knows what's going on, which leads to number four, our recommendation, so that we can then come back at a later hearing and have better data, have better pressure, better logs, cores, any other information that's available. By that time, I think there will be at least three wells in the pool. There could be more. We'll have a lot better data so that we can better manage the reservoir as a field should be.
Steve, just backing up a moment to your recommendation number one. First of all, the lands you've set forth in that paragraph, those are what we refer to as the canopic area. Is that right?
That's correct.
And of those lands, is it correct that sections 2 and 3 are actually within the current Dickinson Field outline?
That's right.
And the portions of sections 10, 11, and 14 that you've identified are within the buffer zone, but not within the field area itself.
14 is not actually in the buffer zone. 10 and 11 is.
And 14 will be in the buffer zone through extension of the field down to pick up the space for the canopic,
That's
right?
correct.
But it's also correct that Duncan is not at this time asking for the field outline to be extended.
That's correct.
And well, let's go on to exhibit number two. I'll have you identify and discuss exhibit two.
Okay. Exhibit two is a map that our drafting department has put together, again, under my supervision. It shows the general area here in Township 139, 140 North, ranges 96 and 97 in Stark County. It's kind of a busy map. It shows the Conoco unit to the northeast, and then the Canopic field area is the green blob down to the southwest of that. You can see that we're about 2 miles away from that lodgepole field. I should also mention there's a couple of dry holes between us and the Conoco Dickinson unit. The lodgepole, the deep tests are shown by the double circles, and between the two fields there's the dry hole symbols on two of those deep circles. There's also a couple of wells in here that are either staked, permitted. Conoco is actually drilling right now in the southeast quarter of Section 3 in Township 139 North, 97 West. So I should emphasize here that the green blob around the canopic is pretty much my interpretation right now. Obviously, with only one well in the field, it's very uncertain where this thing will end up. And but this is kind of my estimation right now, and obviously drilling and more logs and pressure data will tell us if this is the correct interpretation, but right now it's very hypothetical.
And Steve, the real purpose of this map is to show the location of the canopic production in relation to the existing Dickinson Lodgepole production, is
That's
that right?
That's correct, and showing that we're at least 2 miles away and that there are dry holes between us.
In both of the green blobs on that map, this map is not intended to be indicative of the actual shape or size of those green blobs.
Of neither one, that's right, of either field, for that matter. This is really, I had to show the distance and separation here, so this is my interpretation.
Okay, why don't we go on to exhibit number three. I'll have you identify and discuss exhibit three.
Exhibit three are the conclusions that we've in studying this over this field area over the last 2 months, we've come to the following conclusions, and the map leads right into conclusion number one, and that is that we're at least 2 miles away. We could be farther away, and that we think from all the data that we have in our possession right now that it is definitely separate. The second conclusion is that the we've done a reservoir limits test, some pressure work on the canopic well, and that we saw very good communication from top to bottom in the in the reservoir. And our studies have, knowing that, we think we've done a good job in our studies. The third one is pretty obvious. This is just a model study that was done. We think that we even cranked the model open to 4,000 barrels a day and saw no water coning. This reservoir has very high permeability, as has already been mentioned in previous work on the Dickinson Lodgepole unit. And we have permeabilities that are similar. Number four is one of the, I guess, one of the heavy-duty conclusions. From our reservoir limits test, we feel that the reservoir pressure started out in the 4,400 range. And from our limits test and the modeling work that we have done, we saw a pressure drop in the field of 1 pound for every 1,142 barrels that were produced from the field. So we feel like we've got a very good handle from both the The pressure data was excellent. The modeling was a very good fit. Obviously, we could use some more data, as any engineer would say, but right now we feel that we have a very good fit with all the data that we have. So this conclusion you'll see on the next exhibit, so that's one to keep in mind. Number five, from all of the data, the fluid data that we've got so far, it appears that the Canopic Reservoir and the Dickinson Lodgepole field are very similar in their bubble point pressures and their gravities and their composition. And this is one that this conclusion actually came from some work that Conoco has done. Since we don't have our minimum miscibility pressure test run yet, I have to refer to the Conoco studies. And since our fluids are similar, we're expecting that the minimum miscibility pressures will be similar. So a key pressure point is around 3,500 pounds in the reservoir to determine whether or not this unit should be miscibly flooded or water flooded. And at this point in time, it's too early for us to say. I think by April that we will have all of our fluid studies done and maybe even some unitization work done by then. But for the time being, what I'm looking at, our critical pressure point here is about 3,500 pounds. So number six leads right into that, where for the time being, until we come back and tell you how we really want to manage this field from a more of a secondary recovery, we want to keep the reservoir pressure above 3,600 pounds. Now, if in the meantime, in March or so, we get our minimum miscibility pressure test done, if we get some modeling done, we see that the miscible flooding is not the way to go, we would tell you at that time. But right now, we want that option open. We don't know which way we want to go here. Number seven is pretty standard. We're okay with the 320 spacing and the setbacks that are pretty much standard in North Dakota. And number four, from all of the conclusions I've just said, this is kind of sums it all up, that we just don't feel that the very severe production restrictions that are imposed upon us from order number 6932 are needed, because we're very convinced that the field is separate, and we're somewhat convinced that it's somewhat larger, but we need more data to know that. So we will not be hurting the reservoir, producing it like we're asking for.
Steve, just to clarify the record, it's correct that the current Dickinson Lodgepole rules restrict production after 60 days to 200 barrels a day, is that right?
That's correct.
And then stagger it on down to 100 barrels a day.
That's right.
And that's what you're asking for relief from.
That's correct.
Let's go on then, and I'll have you identify and discuss Exhibit 4.
Exhibit 4 is kind of the a way of looking at the oil rate projection that we could, kind of our worst case scenario, and the resulting pressure drop that comes from that production assumptions that I make. And I've got four assumptions, which you can read there and see. I have assumed number three, that we do know that the pressure is dropping 1 pound per 1,142 barrels. To tell you the truth, I think that's very conservative right now. Most of our work that we've done, that number should really be more up in the 1 pound per 1,300 or 1,500 barrel range. But I'm trying to be very conservative because of the estimate. I'm trying to make a worst-case scenario here. If the assumptions are right and we withdraw 500,000 barrels from the field, our pressure drop will be about 449 pounds from the field. And if you take the original reservoir pressure that I discussed in conclusion number four, we still will have a reservoir pressure of almost 4,000 pounds by May, in the May time frame. So I've tried to look at that all wells are productive, which we don't know if that's going to happen or not, and that all wells come on at 2,500 barrels a day, which is another big assumption I've made. So the worst case, the conclusion from that is that everything that we've seen to date, from our studies that with the help that Conoco has given us on their field, and all of the pressure, fluid, log data from the Canopic well, that our reservoir pressure will not be at a critical point by May of 95, and our intention is to be back here to show the North Dakota Industrial Commission, how we would properly manage the reservoir at that point, and it probably will be different than I'm asking for right now.
Steve, exhibit number four also gives you almost 400 pounds of margin of error, is that right before you get the miscibility pressure?
Exactly, it does. Yeah, because in conclusion number six on exhibit three, the 3,600 pounds, I didn't give myself an extra 100 pounds of comfort there. So, yes, I think we've got at least 300 or 400 more than I've shown on exhibit four.
Okay. Steve, you also talked about a gas connection. Is it correct that for additional wells in what we're referring to as a canopic area, you would request some relief from the provisions in the current spacing order which restrict production to 100 barrels a day until connected to a gas gathering facility after 30 days?
Yes, that's true. It's a recommendation I really don't have on here. We would ask that the flaring be allowed for 60 days. The pipeline connection time, we've been pushing very hard to get the connection that's going right now that'll be hooked up next week. But it's taken over 2 months. The reason I'm saying 60 days now is because Koch will have a gas line underneath the interstate highway and Highway 10. The connection should be simpler for the next person, whether it's us or some other person that drills a well in the pool. But 60 days is almost needed just for the physical construction work to be done and the contract time to work with Koch to get the gas put in a pipeline.
In your opinion, will the kind of unrestricted production you're asking for the canopic area result in an efficient and economic development of that area as a whole?
Yes, yes, that's right.
And to the contrary, will continued production restrictions of the type that are concluded in President's orders put a hamper or damper on efficient economic development of that area?
Well, I just don't think they're needed because of the conclusions that I've gone through. I don't want to repeat those again, but I don't think there will be any damage to the reservoir, and that it's still we're doing it in a proper manner. No damage will be done.
And the relief you're asking for will not result in any substantial waste either, is that correct?
Oh, no, I don't think so at all.
I don't have any further questions. We'd offer exhibits at this time.
Are there any objections? Steve, the 30 days of production, I've gone through the daily production, and it appears that your 30 days is probably tomorrow or the day after.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the amendments to the Dickinson Lodgepole field that you're requesting here for the canopic area, are you requesting that we set up a separate set of field rules for this area or another area of spacing for the Dickinson Lodgepole pool?
I would think that, you know, we feel like we're separate, and we don't feel like it. We're pretty sure that we are separate. So I would say yes, that would be appropriate since we've got two different fields here, two different reefs. So
you'd have no objections.
I would have no objections with doing that. I think it probably would be the more prudent thing myself.
And the relief you're requesting for the production restriction of 2,500 barrels a day, is that a two-prong request? The restriction you're requesting an amendment to is a restriction for conservation of the reservoir energy until there's some known factors. But the other restriction that the commission is always concerned with is the flaring without a pipeline connection. And I was wondering your recommendation on that.
As far as the gas flaring?
Yeah.
Well, I just think that the 30 days that's in the present order, that's restrictive just because the contract has to be done with some contractor, and then the physically has to be done. So that puts the producer, not just in this situation, to tell you the truth, but in most others, we're behind the eight ball, so to speak, because it's very tough to get things done in 30 days. And I can understand the state's request or wanting to get the gas put in the pipeline. We want it more than anybody because we're wasting the money, and we understand that. But especially in this area where we have high-volume oil wells with fairly low GORs. The GORs here are in the 500 range. And I'm not berating the fact that that's flaring some gas, but compared to the oil and the testing that's done and the pressure drop that we're actually seeing in the reservoir to figure out the reservoir before more drilling can be done, I think the 60 days is an appropriate way to look at gas flaring.
This is getting in probably to the proprietary area. You don't have to answer the question if you don't want. Koch is installing the line. Is the contract with them for additional wells or just for this particular well?
I don't think I'll be in trouble here.
If you're nervous about it, don't answer.
No, I'm not. It's just for this well. It's just for this well.
Okay.
I don't think that's
Is the line they're installing sufficient size to is capable of transporting gas over and above what you're producing?
Yes. Okay. It's an 8-inch poly line.
Okay.
And they've assured me that they'll be hooked up next week. So, no, and actually, for the rate that we're producing the well or even asking for here, all we need is about a 4-inch line. So hopefully that answers your question. The Koch went ahead and put a larger line in, thinking that other people would be hooking into that south of the freeway or the interstate.
Is there a possibility, you wouldn't be drilling the wells unless you hoped there were production, the offset wells. Is there a possibility to speed up the process? You could work on a gas contract as the well is drilling to increase the time factor?
Yes, there is. And now that we've got our first to be honest with you, we don't have a signed contract with Koch at this point in time. We're at a handshake and a smile point right now. But they're building the line. We have very good agreement that the contract will be signed by both parties, and hopefully the next one will go faster. But if another operator comes in, they're liable to have different concerns and options with Koch than we do. So having the first contract already done or almost done is definitely going to help us, but it might not help somebody else, another operator.
I guess to summarize, what you're actually requesting is an MER of 2,500 barrels a day on all wells that are developed in this particular area with a 60-day allowance for flaring.
That's correct.
Okay. And the flaring would be unrestricted or tied to the 2,500 barrels a day?
That's right. And because the GOR is around 500, you're talking about a flaring rate here of a little over a million a day, which, I realize is not good, but the oil value here is a great disproportionate share. It's very much higher than the gas value.
I don't have any further questions. Thank you. Are there any other staff people that would like to ask questions?
Steve, I just have one question. On your Exhibit 3, Item 4, the estimated reservoir pressure, what datum was that?
The reason I'm being hesitant, that was, I'll give you a number, it's around 72-71, and that's a pretty specific number. In the modeling that's done, this average reservoir pressure is actually a model average reservoir pressure, okay? So we're trying to build the model to fit the reservoir, and that's a little tough to do, but the where we're talking about here is right at 72-70, or in that range.
Steve, the 2,500 barrels a day, would that be on new wells the day after they complete it? Would that take effect?
That's correct.
Is there any need for new wells to have a certain period of time where they can flow it at any rate they wish, just for testing purposes?
I would think the 2,500 barrels a day is plenty, but with our experience in a Canopic well, I'll give you an example. We did our reservoir limits test at 1,600 barrels a day. So we're actually going up from the numbers that we did our reservoir limits test at. It seems like the pressure drop and the reservoir quality is such that we can go to 2,500 and not have a problem. Now, I can't say that someone shouldn't flow test the well at, 3,000 barrels a day for several days or something to clean up something, but we're talking rates here that I'm frankly not used to all that much, but I don't think anybody's going to hurt the reservoir at 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 barrels a day.
Our oversight to see that the order is complied with is the 75,000 barrels a month. So if
Yes, that is kind of misleading in recommendation number one. I say a maximum.
Right.
I just saw that. And I think I was trying to... the 7,500 is the more critical thing to us right now.
75,000.
75,000.
So they could test it at any rate.
Yes,
and then
I think
they
as
just
long
come
as
in under the 75,000.
Right, that's right. Our experience has been you get into tank battery problems, trucking problems, just physically getting the oil off the location.
And you're asking for flaring for 60 days. If it happens that a well didn't get hooked up within 60 days, what would be your recommendations then for the restrictions for a
I guess at that point, I'd say it should go back to 100 barrels a day.
Okay.
Because I think that's enough time. 30 days is really, really sort of unrealistic with the contract that's got to be done. And every company, I think, is going to have a different little twist to the contract that's going to take some time. And then physically doing it, it's going to take Coke, 2.5 weeks or so to build this.
Our commission thinks that 30 days is a long time, so.
for the record, Steve, this is sweet gas, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And sweet oil. That's right, it is.
Are there any further questions?
Yeah, Steve, on your number three on Exhibit 1, you say that your 48-hour shut-in test should be obtained on all producing wells at the end of March. Should this be a simultaneous test where all of them are shut in at the same time?
That was the point I was trying to get to there, so that we could all, any operator that's in the field, and hopefully there's some more by then, that we have a consistent point in time, and then we can correct it to the datum. And see really how to manage this thing farther, and if some of our other assumptions that we've made are correct.
So if we said that all wells shall be shut in at 7 a.m. on a certain day, is that the type of wording you're looking for?
It is. Right now, I think among the people that are in the area, we're going to have this agreement anyway. But I think it's something that I wanted to bring up here so that the state should be aware of it. That I think it's the prudent thing to do to get some more good pressure data.
Steve, do you think it's necessary that we write it into the order, or do you feel confident that you guys can do it voluntarily?
I don't know what to tell you there. I don't know, I don't know what to say.
Is the question whether you should write the requirement?
I think it should be written in.
To shut them all in.
Yeah, I think it should be written in. I don't think any of the operators would have a problem with that right now. I know that Duncan would not.
Any further questions? Do you have anything else?
No.
Is there anyone? Lawrence, did you want to question the witness? Okay. Do you want to make your appearance now? You're done, right, John?
We're done.
Okay.
I don't have anything further.
You're not going to make an appearance?
I've already made an appearance, but
okay.
I don't have any questions for our witness.
Is there anyone else that wishes to appear in this case? If not, the commission will take case number 6041 under advisement. We now